You are listening to Survive and Thrive, Managing Life with Adult ADHD. Adults affected by ADHD will be helped to succeed, enjoying their life in the process. Hosted by Abigail Werf, coach, author, and speaker. Abigail's focus is helping adults with ADHD live their best lives professionally and personally.
Hi, this is Abigail Werf, and welcome to Survive and Thrive, Managing Life with Adult ADHD podcast. This is podcast number 012 and is on success with coworkers. It is the final installment in a series of 5 podcasts on working. There is a cheat sheet for this episode. Go to abigailwerf.com/cheat sheet 012. That's abigailwerf.com/cheat sheet 012. The last 4 podcast episodes have all dealt with working. First, 008 dealt with a job versus a calling. The next, 009, was about dealing with the boss and higher-ups. The third, 010, dealt with how to help your boss help you. And last week, 011, was on how to manage your work. In our final installment of these 5 episodes on working, I'm going to discuss achieving success with your coworkers. Those affected by ADHD can struggle socially, and that is not just in one's personal life, but also in one's professional life. One of the issues I have discussed already in this series, but bears repeating, is TMI, too much information. We tend not to be circumspect as to what we share with our colleagues. Remember, don't tell anyone anything you are not willing to have everyone at work know. Secrets rarely remain secrets when they're told to others. Another way we are not circumspect is in just being aware of how much information is enough. We tend to like to contextualize, setting the scene, telling a story, be roundabout in our answers. Be sure to check out my podcast 006 about explaining too much. Usually colleagues and supervisors just want the nuts and bolts answers to the questions they have asked because they're in the middle of something. Be aware of when is clearly the time for social chatting and when is the time for professional speaking. We often blur those lines. Granted, there are some situations where that is the norm, but mostly we need to be careful about reading situations better to know what is appropriate. It is good to ask questions and seek help when you need it, but try to observe when it is a good time to disturb someone or interrupt their work. Just because it is a good time for us doesn't mean it is a good time for them. If you are not sure, ask. Not your questions, but if it is a good time to interrupt them. Be succinct. Is this a good time to interrupt you, or would you like me to come back later? If so, when? Another thing to watch out for is blurting. We tend to blurt things out, often interrupting people. I think we get excited about what we have thought of and want to say it, but with our impulse controls not being that great, we tend to blurt. In the podcast 009, I suggest questions to ask yourself before you speak. Those questions are, do I have to say it? Does it need to be said right now? Do I need to be the person who says it? So refer back to podcast episode 009, Dealing with the Boss and Higher Ups, and the accompanying cheat sheet, abigailwerf.com/cheat sheet 009, for a discussion of these questions and how to start using them. If you share office space with others, be aware of your things and thing creep. Thing creep is your stuff creeping onto community areas. Also be aware of keeping your space, including your desk, organized. For some people, it is very distracting to work in a cluttered environment. Try to be a good neighbor. A big key to success with your coworkers is getting them the work you need to do for them before they need that work. When we are late on something, it doesn't just affect us, but others. Be aware that often people are counting on you to have things done when you say they will be done. The best thing is to have a really good calendar where all your tasks and projects are noted by date that they start and date they are due. Even better, break the projects and the tasks into steps and record the steps in your calendar with sub-due dates to keep you on track. If you're going to be late with something, try to let the person know as soon as possible and not the day of. Giving warning allows them to maybe reorganize what they need to do when. I use what is called a planner pad. They can be found at www.plannerpads.com. It is a paper calendar that comes in a couple different sizes and has a particular structure. How it works is the page is horizontally divided in three, and it has 1 week over a two-page spread. So the bottom row is the calendar part where you have from early morning to evening with the times for you to put your appointments. Then at the very top third are places to develop categories of work, of topics. So this is where you might put, in my case, I have one category which is marketing, another is financial, another is administrative, another is fulfillment, and another is personal. So those are my categories. And so instead of making one long to-do list, I put my tasks under the appropriate category. So my tasks are categorized. Then there's the middle row. So the top row is categories with your to-dos. The bottom row is your calendar. And then the middle row is a column for each day of the week above where the times are for you to move the tasks down from the categories to the day you're going to do them. So looking at the calendar part, I can determine that I have a lot of appointments on Monday. So the tasks that I might want to do on Monday really either have to be done the week before, or I have to be willing to move them to Tuesday. I look at my calendar for Tuesday and I see I have a lot of open time. So that means from the categories, I can pull down to the middle row the tasks I'm going to do for that day. So I find this a really great way to organize your tasks, balancing them with what your calendar is. And I've found that many of my clients find this system very helpful, provided they write in pencil in the planner so they can change things as need be. A benefit to having a paper calendar slant task list is that you can leave it open on your desk at all times so you don't forget things. Computer screens fade to black when not in use. I find having my calendar at my elbow allows me to always be aware of what I should be doing and what comes next. Also, it is easy to quickly add things as they happen without having to wait to open a computer or a phone screen. So check out the planner pads at www.plannerpads.com. I get no compensation for suggesting them. I've just found if you're interested in a paper planner, that that's been the most helpful for myself and my clients. Consistency also helps our coworkers. Unfortunately, consistency is difficult for many of us with ADHD. If you always give someone a report on Friday, warn them if it will not be the case for that Friday as soon as you know. Finally, all the rules that apply to your coworkers apply to you unless otherwise specified. If everyone is expected to be at work by 8 a.m., that includes you, even if you worked late the night before or plan to work late that day. Expectations are expectations, and people begin to resent those that don't play by the same rules they are playing by. I've had clients lose their jobs over being late to work, no matter how late they stayed in the evenings. Just because no one is saying anything about something doesn't mean they aren't bothered by it and you lose credibility. In episode 009, I mentioned credibility banks, and I think it is important to mention them here. We all have accounts with people like bank accounts. You are either depositing or withdrawing. In this case, it is based on your behavior. The goal is to have high credibility accounts with people, so if something does go wrong or something unexpected happens, you have some leeway. You don't make deposits by doing what is expected of you. You make deposits by doing past that. Just as when you don't do something, your credibility bank account drops, it is not a static thing but an ongoing process. Always be trying to deposit into your credibility bank accounts because you never know when you're going to fall short and need some help. Referring back to being on time, when we are late all the time, our credibility goes down. So then if we ask for some time off, because let's say we have a doctor's appointment, people are less inclined to give it to us, that time off, because they feel we are not holding up our end of the bargain. But if you have a lot of credibility, the person is more likely to okay it. All of what I have mentioned on this episode is about living in an anticipatory manner, and that is difficult for us. We tend to think in terms of there is now and not now, as Dr. Ned Halliwell says. This is problematic. We are often being surprised by things that happen to us because we are not anticipating others and our actions in terms of what they mean for the future. It is hard for us to think this way, but it is important. So try to keep in mind the idea of anticipatory thinking. I will be discussing this in a future podcast, the ideas of anticipatory thinking and anticipatory living. To review, be aware of TMI, too much information. Be circumspect about how much information is enough, especially when you're revealing personal information. Be aware of social chatting versus professional speaking and when is appropriate for each one. Not everything needs to be contextualized when answering a question. Be direct to the point when responding to questions at work. Be careful when disturbing a colleague if you have a question or need information. Ask if it's a good time to interrupt first. Be careful about blurting. The three questions are, does it need to be said? Does it by me? Does it need to be said right now? And does it need to be said at all? If you are sharing office space, be aware of how you keep your area so as not to intrude on others. Be on time with due dates, and if that's not possible, let people know as soon as possible. To help with getting things done on time, use a calendar. I suggest planner pads. Consistency is key on getting your work done in a timely manner that is repetitious and happens every week or every month or every day. Rules that apply to your coworkers apply to you unless otherwise instructed by a person in authority. Remember the credibility bank. You always want to be depositing and rarely withdrawing. And try living in an anticipatory manner and thinking, what are the ramifications of the actions I want to take next? So don't forget there's a cheat sheet for this episode. Go to www.abigailwerf.com/cheatsheet012. That's abigailwerf.com/cheatsheet012. Well, that's it for today. The next podcast, which is 013, is on participating rather than isolating, and that will go out next week. Thank you for listening and going on this journey with me. If you have comments or topic suggestions, you can either leave a message 24/7 at 1-844-ADD-ADHD, or numerically, that's 1-844-233-2343, or go to my website, abigailwerf.com/contact. I always appreciate your time and attention. Please, if you can find it within your heart, go to iTunes and write a review for Survive and Thrive, Managing Life with Adult ADHD. All reviews are deeply appreciated and will help others find this podcast. I look forward to future podcasts with you. And in the meantime, keep on keeping on.
Thanks for listening to Survive and Thrive, Managing Life with Adult ADHD. Come back next week for a new episode. For show notes and free stuff, go to abigailwerf.com.